Luke chapter number 1, kind of a little bit of an unusual thought and how the Lord birthed it in my heart this week as I've been watching and listening to what's going on in our country. The Bible said in verse 1, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us." I want to ask you a question this morning. Luke is writing to the believer in his day. He said, "Most surely believed among us." Are you included in that us? Are you a believer? Are you a, I'm not talking about a head believer, a head knowledge believer, but are you a born again child of God, a believer? Did you know that those are the only people that are going to heaven when Jesus comes? Did you know that those are the folks that make up the bride of Christ, that wedding day that was being sung about, that those are the ones that are going to be included? Watch this. "Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, he said, it seemed good to me also, having had a perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." We're going to be in the chapter today, but I want to stop right there and pray. You can be seated. Please pray for us and pray with us. Father, thank you today for the word of God that we have in front of us. Help us, Lord, this morning, Lord, to just be able to convey from the pulpit those things that you've taught us in the study of your word. I pray you'd encourage our hearts together today. Lord, I thank you for the family that has expressed an interest in joining the church after a while. I pray, Lord, that more families, Lord, would pray about it and Lord, be led of the Holy Spirit. God, would you just continue to build your church, Lord, the way you see fit. God, will give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to say just a couple of things by way of introduction. First of all, these things that are most surely believed among us are to be declared. That's what the Word of God said right here. Someone might say, "I don't know why you have church every Sunday and why you have church every Wednesday night, why you have them revival meetings and why you have those tent meetings and why you send out them missionaries all over the world." Because God didn't just give us something to believe, God gave us something to declare. The Word of God said, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Now, not only do we declare those things that are most surely believed among us, but in verse number 4, those things are certain. You and I both know that we're living in days of great uncertainty. I just want to say this in the onset of the message. I don't want to turn anybody off, but beloved, Jesus is coming. And I want to say that in the days of Moses, they were killing the babies, and there was an announcement in the shadows being made, a deliverer is on the way. In the days of Jesus, they were killing the babies. An announcement in the shadows was being made, a deliverer is on the way. And this week, we had a man really spoke what he's believed all along, what a lot of people have, talking about laying a baby on the counter while the doctor and the mother have a discussion. Are you listening to me? And keeping that baby comfortable while they decide whether that baby lives or whether that baby dies. You got a little bit of an idea now how this message was birthed in my heart. You say, "Preacher, you got some of that bulldog in you." No, I got a love for the truth, a love for the Lord Jesus Christ, a love for this country. And beloved, our country is being destroyed, amen, by sin and sinful practices. And we need to, my friend, love the babies. Say amen. God's going to teach us something in this message today. If we'll listen and pay attention, I believe God will help us. I want to talk about 4 miracles in this chapter. Before I do that, let me define what a miracle is. I'm not being smart, but sometimes you might think, well, this is just something that happens natural, like childbirth.
Well, when you look at the definition of miracle, it means a surprising and welcome event that is not explainable by natural or scientific laws, and is therefore considered to be a work of divine agency. And then it says a highly improbable or extraordinary event, a development or accomplishment that brings very welcome consequences. And then the last definition included an amazing product or achievement or an outstanding example of something. I just want to say this to you this morning. I'm going to preach about four miracles. Number one, the miracle of John's birth. Number two, the miracle of Jesus' birth. Number three, the miracle of the natural birth. And then thank God, if God will help me this morning, I want to top it off with the miracle of all miracles, the miracle of a new birth. Amen? I see it all right here in the chapter. And God helping me, I'd like to share it with you this morning. Let's talk about, first of all, the miracle of John's birth. The name John is a Hebrew baby name. In Hebrew, the meaning of the name John is Jehovah has been gracious and has shown favor. That's what the name John means in the Hebrew tongue, that the Lord has been gracious. I just want to stand and say this morning, I don't care if you're talking about John. I don't care if you're talking about Joe. I don't care who you're talking about. Thank God Almighty you're here this morning, because the Lord has been gracious in your life, has been gracious to allow you to have ears to hear the truth of the Word of God. And beloved, listen, given us lungs to breathe and a heart to beat and pump the blood through our body. But let's look first at the miracle of John's birth. You say, preacher, what's so miraculous about it? Well, if you look at it here, the Bible talks about they were well up in years. If you look at the end of verse number 13 here, Elizabeth said, thou shalt call his name John. The angel told Zacharias, thou shalt call his name John. And when John was born, if you go down to verse 57 and 58, Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias, after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, not so. Thank God for mothers. That's not going to go with the way of this world or the way of the men that are gathered around and the women that are gathered around, but are going to go with the way of God. She said, not so. His name shall be called John. And they said unto her, there is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have called him. You remember Zechariah had been stricken dumb. He couldn't talk because he didn't believe what the angel told him until the baby was born. And he asked for a writing table, and he wrote saying, his name, oh glory to God. He didn't say shall be called John. He said his name is John. Hallelujah. You can't change it, amen. God had already settled it way back in eternity that there was going to come a forerunner that was going to prepare the way of the Lord. And God told us what his name was. His name is John, amen. Zacharias and Elizabeth, the Word of God, if you study the chapter, tells us they were well stricken in years. Beloved, listen, in the Bible times especially, if you go back and study about Hannah in the Bible, a lady that couldn't have a child, and that was a very grievance to her, and she would pray and she would beg God. And beloved, I want you to see just a couple of things quickly about this miracle. This miracle is a result of two people that would heed the Word of God. If you look at verse number 6, they were both righteous. Elizabeth and Zacharias were righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord, blameless. I want to say this to you this morning. Beloved, you cannot produce blessings, and I cannot produce blessings. Only God can produce blessings. But what you and I can do is put ourselves in a position that we can receive the blessings of God. Amen. And may I say this to you? Children are a blessing from God. Can I say to you this morning, they're the heritage of the Lord. Amen. And beloved, God tells us about two people that would heed the Word of God. Not only that, the miracle was a result of a prayer that was heard. Look in verse number 13. The angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard." You want to test? Let me just say this morning. God, Brother John, you're preaching this morning about he don't change. He still hears and answers prayer. Thank God Almighty. You say, "Well, preacher, it's a modern generation." I tell you, it's an old-fashioned throne of grace. And a man or a woman that'll walk with God can approach the throne of God and get answers from God. And beloved, he wants to answer our prayer just like he did John. The Bible said, he said, "Thy prayer is heard." I just picture this. I can't prove this. I like to insert myself into the scene. I believe, listen, when your wife is burdened and when your wife is grieved, if you're any kind of husband at all, you're grieved too. I can just hear old John, Brother Grizzle over there in the temple saying, "Oh God, God, I know we're old." Some of the history says they could have been in their 80s. There's no proof of that. But the Bible said they were well stricken in years. And by the way, let me just say this. Oh, you say this was just a fluke. You need to remember the verse that says that it was impossible with men, but it was possible with God. They had gotten past the place where a man and a woman could have a baby, but God intervened, amen, and gave them that baby, John. The Word of God is talking about a miracle as a result of a prayer that was heard. He said, "Thy prayer is heard." I can hear Zacharias in the temple saying, "Oh God, Elizabeth, my sweet wife, God, you know how we would love to have a baby. God, you know, oh hallelujah." Let me just say this to you. Beloved, you say, "Preacher, I don't know what's the answer for all these unwanted babies." I'm going to tell you something right now. There's a lot of people that want them. Are you listening to me? If we could just get the people that don't want hooked up with the people that want, it would make a difference without it costing $15,000. Help me this morning. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, there's a miracle. It's a result of a prayer that was heard. And then watch this now. This miracle is going to result in a people that were helped. You say, "Preacher, God, you mean God was looking beyond Elizabeth? And God was looking beyond Zechariah? And God was looking beyond John?" That's exactly what I mean. Beloved, God's plan is bigger than you and bigger than me. Oh, hallelujah. When I was being formed in my mommy's womb, I'm going to tell you something right now. God had something in mind besides just the firstborn son. God had something in mind just besides the male. God had something in mind when I didn't know anything about him. He knew all about me. Hallelujah. Beloved, he has a plan. We had the children up here last week. He has a plan for their life. Before they ever come in this world, God has a plan for their life. Beloved, he's going to help. There's going to be a people that's helped. Look at verse 14. "Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth." And then the Bible said, "For he shall be great." What's those next words say? "In the sight of the Lord." You know, it'll be a happy day in your life when you realize that's what really counts. Brother Thurman, we may not ever be much in the sight of men, but if we could just walk with God and be great in the sight of the Lord, Brother Brian, have great faith and have great compassion, have great love for our families and our fellow men, have great love for our Savior and for the Word of God that he's given us, have a great love for sinners that are perishing every day without God and dropping off into hell. I believe we can be great in the sight of the Lord. And I really believe nothing else should matter. Say amen. The judgment seat of Christ will reveal it. Beloved, the Bible said he was great in the sight of the Lord. He said he drank neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even after he gets out of his mother's womb. That ain't what it says, is it? God filled a baby with the Holy Ghost in his mother's womb. Boy, I don't know what all these people that talk about you have to do this and you have to do that and you have to do this and be filled with the Holy Ghost says about that. Say amen. Amen. God filled him in the womb. Watch this now. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. God had a plan for John. God had a plan for John. I said God had a plan for John. He was going to come out of there, and he was going to be a preaching. He was going to be doing some spirit-filled preaching. He was going to use the word a lot. Repent. 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 He was preparing the way of the Lord. He said, I'm not him. He said, as a matter of fact, I'm not even worthy to stoop down and unloose his shoe latches. He must increase. I must decrease. That's John's message. Amen. John's pointing people to Jesus. And God helped many people because of this miraculous birth. Beloved, it was a miracle that would result in people that would be helped. The Bible said in verse 17, he shall go on before him in the spirit and the power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers of the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Amen. Sister Joy, to make ready a bride, to make ready for a wedding day. Hallelujah this morning. The miracle of John's birth. Let me just give you this quickly. I told Miss Eve yesterday, she said, what are you preaching on tomorrow? And I said, Christmas. Amen. I just get your thinking, amen. More than that, it gets your praying. Honey, you're late. It's February. The next one is the miracle of Jesus' birth. Let me give you a couple things about this real quickly. She is a woman. Look at verse 26 down through verse number 30. Let's look at Mary and the miracle of Jesus' birth. In verse 26 through verse number 30, the Bible said, and in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Remember that verse. In the sixth month. To a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Beloved, let me just say, number one, the miracle of Jesus' birth, there was a woman that found favor with God. You know what I think? I think that Mary was just like John in that she was great in the sight of the Lord. She may not have been much in the sight of men. She probably wasn't the most popular person in town. But in the sight of God, she was a woman that found favor with God. Now you might say, Preacher, why do you think this woman would find favor with God? Look at verse 31 down through verse 38. The Bible said, And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give him unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the word of God said, And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, remember that verse again, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Watch verse 38. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Two things here quickly. Number one, a woman that found favor with God. But number two, a woman that exercised faith in God. She asked the angel the question, said, I don't understand, Mr. Angel. I've never been with a man. How's this going to happen? She didn't say, is it going to happen? She didn't question that it was going to happen. She just wanted to know how God was going to do it. And when the angel told her, she didn't have any problem saying, you know what? Here I am. I'm God's. Amen. And she put her faith and her trust in the Lord of glory. There's a woman that found favor with God. Look in verse number 45. A woman that believed God. And the Bible said, And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. I just want to say hallelujah. There's two births, the birth of John and the birth of Jesus, and they're both miraculous. You say, preacher, what else did you see in Jesus' birth? Let me give you this. Not only a woman that found favor, a woman that exercised faith, but look in verse number 46 down through verse number 56. Somebody ought to get happy right through here. I want you to see what comes out of Mary's mouth. The angel's gone. The discussion with Elizabeth is over. And now, Brother John, she's having a discussion, amen, with that one on high and magnifying him. Watch what the Bible said. And Mary said in verse 46, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He that showed strength with his arm, he hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty men from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And the Bible said, and Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. I'm telling you, beloved, what I just read in your hearing is coming from the mouth and from the heart and from the spirit of a woman that is enjoying fellowship with God. I'm telling you, beloved, it's important to have faith in God. It's important to find favor with God. But it's important to walk in fellowship with the God of heaven. There's the miracle of John's birth, the miracle of Jesus' birth. What about the miracle of a physical birth? Turn with me, if you will, please, in your Bibles to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. In Psalm 139, do we get a little bit of a insight to what's going on in the womb? In Psalm 139, I'd like to read just a few verses, verse 13 through verse number 18. The psalmist David said, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. He said, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I want to say this to you this morning. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you know or don't know, where you came from, what you've done or not done. You, my friend, are fearfully and wonderfully made. God made us in his own image. And you think about that for just a minute. You think about all this congregation. God not only knows how many hairs are in every head, but God could add them up for you right quick. Say amen. God, beloved, not only knows the hairs in our head, but he knows the heart in our chest. And God, beloved, listen, I believe with all of my heart, it ought to stir us up to know that he was thinking about us, had his eye on us before we ever came in this world. He said, I'm fearfully. And look at verse number 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Let me tell you something right now. That doctor can lay that baby on that counter if he wants to. That doctor can pull that baby apart if he wants to. And I'm going to tell you something right now. That's not going to stop the fact that that baby was fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, I want to emphasize the word baby. I'm going to show you something in just a few minutes. I believe it'll be a blessing to you. I hope that it will. The Word of God said here, marvelous are thy works. Look at verse number 15. My substance was not hid from thee. You see, Brother Steve, God didn't need an ultrasound. That's exactly right. When I was conceived in my mother's womb, you could ask God and he'd tell you the very day that finger came off. He could tell you the very day that my brain was developed, the very day that my heart was developed. He could tell you the very day that my thumbprint was developed, and there's none like it in the whole wide world. He could tell you the very day, because he was looking, he was watching. And beloved, if you think he ain't watching in this country, you're out of your mind. He's watching. He's watching. And you know what that doctor's saying? You know, the fellow from Virginia last week, he made a big mistake when he used the word infant. In his circle, he made a big mistake because you're not supposed to talk about the baby being a baby. It's just some kind of a group of cells or a mass or a blob. I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me. I need to stop and say this right here. I realize that when I'm preaching, that there's a very good possibility that you're preaching to somebody that's made a mistake in this area. I'm going to tell you something right now. That don't mean the preaching ought to stop. I'm telling you, beloved, if you've ever been a drunkard and I preach against drunkenness, you ought to be the one hollering amen the loudest. You ought to be the one, beloved. Listen, say, preach, preacher. Warn somebody about the error of that way. We're not here to put anybody down. Thank God, God forgives mistakes. But I'll tell you this, the truth's still the truth. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. Listen to me. There's the miracle of the physical birth. We're created in the image of God Himself. He said, my substance was not hid when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And thy book, thy members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious are also are thy thoughts toward me. O God, how great is the sum of them, if I should count them. They are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with thee. David saying a long time before, God, I could ever get you on my mind. You had me on your mind. I say, bless his name. Watch this now. Little boy, he asked his mother where he came from and also where she had come from as a baby. And his mother gave him a tall tale about a beautiful white-feathered bird. The boy asked his grandmother the same question and received a variation of the same bird story. Outside to one of his friends, he said, you know, there hasn't been a normal birth in my family for 3 generations. I'm going to say this. Brother Steve, I know you're paying attention to the news. Seems like God's raising up a young generation that's got more sense than to believe this mess. I will say this, our Christian schools are under attack. They're attacking Karen Pence now. I think they're trying to get ahead so if they can get Trump impeached. Are you listening to me? That we'll already get some stones to throw at Mike and Karen Pence. They're attacking her because she teaches in a Christian school that won't allow sodomites. You say, preacher, why didn't you say gay people? I'm going to use Bible terms. Won't allow sodomites to teach or to be a student in that school. That does not believe that abortion is one of the options that a pregnant woman has. And teach the children so. You say, preacher, would you sum all that up for me, what they're doing? I tell you what they're doing. They're doing what Zacharias and Elizabeth did. They're trying to live a life that lines up with the Word of God. And if that's a crime, get me a jail cell, really. Because God wants us to live our life lining it up with the Word of God. Watch this, please. In the Greek language, I never say things like that to impress, but I look things up. And I thought this was very interesting. In the Greek language, I think you would say the word brephos, and it means an infant, literally or figuratively a babe, a child, an infant. That's what it means. Okay, everybody got that? Now I want to show you this. You say, preacher, I don't understand why you shared that with us. It's very important. Turn with me back to the book of Luke, please. Look at verse number 41. The Bible said here, in verse number 41, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, what's that word? That's that Greek word, brephos. that infant, that baby, leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 44, please. For lo, as soon as the voice of the salutation sounded in my ears, the, what's that word? Babe. Or we could say baby. Or we could say infant. Leaped in my womb for joy. Now watch this. I'm going somewhere. Look at chapter 2, verse number 12. Are you with me? Don't die on me now. Are you with me? Chapter 2, verse number 12. This is talking about Jesus coming in the world now. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the, what's that word? Let me tell you how old John was. You can figure this all out right there. It's right there in the text. He was 6 months old when the Bible said the babe leaped. Wait a minute. He was 6 months in the womb. We don't start counting our age until we get out of the womb. But he was already being developed for 6 months, and God called him a babe. Is anybody with me? Take Jesus out and wrap him in swaddling clothes. And what God call him? A baby. You say whatever you want to. God's got his eyes on the babies. Whether they're Brother Grizzle on the inside or the outside, God's got his eyes on the babies. God's been so good to me. God's been so good to us in this country. How could we spit in his face? Amen. You say, preacher, this is a political message. No, it's not. It's a Bible message. I want to tell you something. God's going to judge sin. Mark that down. There's the miracle of the physical birth. Let me give you this and I'm done. The miracle of the spiritual birth. Look at verse number 76 through verse number 80, please. The Bible said, "And the child, thou child, shall be called," this is speaking of John, "the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God." How many's glad God's got tender mercy? "Whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us." Look at verse 79. "To give light to them that sit in darkness." You know, that's why God left us here. That we might let our light shine and give light to them that sit in darkness. Honey, there's a world full of people. You know what would happen to the governor in Virginia if God would bring him out of the darkness into the light? He'd stand up and he'd say, "Oh my God, forgive me." He'd say, "This is not right." Oh, you say, preacher, now you need to realize he's a medical doctor and he's a lot smarter than you are. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm not in a contest for smart, but it's not smart to go against God and God's word. There might be a difference. You can have both, but there might be a difference in education and wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to use your education in the right way. What if all the people in this world that had all that knowledge would use that to save the babies? But instead, we'll save a snail. Or save some kind of a beetle bug. You know what I'm talking about. We've lost our mind as a country. Save the whale. You know what I'm talking about. Endangered species. In America's the baby. The baby. The miracle of the spiritual birth. Watch this now. To give light to them that sit in darkness and the shadow of death. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. Adrian Rogers said he heard of a man giving his testimony at the Salvation Army. There was a heckler in the crowd and he said, Would you shut up? You're just dreaming. The heckler felt a tug on his coattail, and a little girl said, "That's my daddy up there. He used to be a drunkard. He used to beat up my mommy. We didn't have enough food to eat. But then he got saved. And my daddy's life has changed." She said, "You see that woman over there? See how happy she is?" She said, "That's my mommy." She said, "Mister, if my daddy's dreaming, please don't wake him up." What are you saying? I'm saying, Brother Bob, that there's a little girl that realized a miracle took place in her daddy's life. She didn't have to run and hide from him anymore. She didn't have to go without milk and go without food because daddy had drunk it all up in booze. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, the miracle of all miracles is when a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl is born again. The Spirit of God. The miracle of all miracles. An alcoholic became a believer. And he was asked how he could possibly believe all the nonsense in the Bible about miracles. He said, "You don't believe that Jesus changed the water into wine, do you?" He said, "I sure do. Because down at our house, he changed whiskey into furniture." I don't know. I don't know. Brother Brian, I don't know. I don't know if we've gone too far as a nation. But I do know it's coming to a head. The two sides could not be in any more stark contrast. It's coming to a head. And I do believe if my people, Brother David, it ain't going to be the sinners. But God said, if my people, which are called by my name, if you'll read about the prophets of old in the Old Testament, they always identified with the sins of their people as a nation. In other words, it wasn't, "Oh God, forgive them," but, "Oh God, forgive us." And I'll tell you something, this room is sitting full of people, you can mark this down, that have been silent and have not prayed a prayer concerning this. And when we ought to stand up, we ought to speak up, we ought to raise up, and we ought to humble ourselves down and say, "God, we cannot change it, but you can. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways." You said, "Preacher, I don't have any." You didn't even have enough time to examine yourself before you said that. The Bible tells us to examine ourselves. The Bible said, don't be trying to get the beam out of somebody else's eye or the mote out of somebody else's eye when you got a beam in your own eye. God said this, "We'll humble ourselves, pray, turn from our wicked ways." He said, "Then, well, I'll hear from heaven." This is what God said. I didn't say it. It's in 2 Chronicles 7:14. He said, "I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land." You see, sometimes, listen to me carefully, I think I'm even guilty of this. Sometimes I think we're looking to the human aspect. Brother Steve, like the Supreme Court maybe, being more conservative than liberal to maybe get some things turned around. But can I tell you something? God can do more in a nation in 10 seconds than a Supreme Court can do in 10 years. Brother David, God can hit us so hard as a nation. He did it over and over with Israel. Who do we think we are? He can bring us to our knees if we don't want to volunteer to go down on our knees. I believe with all of my heart that God is still God.
What'd you say this morning in Sunday school, Brother John? He ain't changed. In other words, if we look down through the history of this Bible, we see that God has turned it around before. And I think we should not be a people that have lost hope, but we should be a people whose hope is in God. And God can still do it. I'm closing. Thank you for being patient with me. There are many politicians and people that deny that there's precious life in the womb. I'm so glad that you and I are not confused this morning about this. John's birth was a miracle. Jesus' birth was a miracle. Would you say this with me? My birth was a miracle. Would you say that? My birth was a miracle. Brother Gary Turbyfield, we work together a lot around here and have over the years. He uses the phrase referring to himself. Anything needs to be done down low, Brother Gary's all over it. He said, Pastor, I'm short wheelbase. I'll take care of that. You know what God knew, Brother Gary? He knew he needed some short wheelbase people and some long wheelbase people. He knew. He knew. And my second birth was the miracle of all miracles. I'll never forget it. The night that Jesus forgave me of my sin and lifted that mess off of me, took it away. There are just some of the things we've talked about this morning that are most surely believed among us. Can I get an amen right there? If you're here today and you're not saved, I wouldn't take my chance on living another day without Jesus. I'd come to Him. Perhaps you, like myself, have been paying attention to the events going on in the world. Maybe you'd like to come and pray this morning and just ask God, forgive our sin. Deal in the hearts. Deal in the hearts of men and women that are in places or making decisions that will affect our lives in the future. Let's bow for prayer.